Why do you think the election changed so quickly at the end?
Well, you know, polls are notoriously unreliable, especially when you're seeing big turnouts like this. You don't know how things are going to play themselves out. We did very well. I mean, our votes were where we expected them to be. And, you know, Senator Clinton ran a good race. What is inspiring, I think, both about Iowa and New Hampshire is to see how intensely people are following this campaign, how people who may not typically vote are coming out to vote. I think this is going to be a hard-fought contest all the way through February 5th.
Although you pointed out elsewhere this morning that there were a lot of late-breaking votes, why do you think at that last moment significant numbers of people would choose to vote for someone other than you?
Well, you know, it's very hard to gauge. I'm sure that people are going to analyze it. It's clearly, Senator Clinton did better among women than she had anticipated, many of the pundits had anticipated. And, you know, how that played itself out during these last several days is hard to gauge. What I know, though, is that we've really shifted the political terrain. It's indisputable now that people want a different kind of politics. They are hungry for change in Washington. I think our message of bringing people together and pushing against the special interests and really trying to be straight with the American people about how we're going to solve problems, you know, that's the right message. And I've just got to make sure that we are delivering that message and translating that into concrete terms for the people in Nevada and South Carolina and the other states that haven't voted yet.
Which we're going to talk about in a moment. I'd like to ask, though, whether you believe it's fair or not, do you believe that Hillary Clinton and, to some degree, Bill Clinton have succeeded in raising some doubts about your readiness to be president?
No, I mean, keep in mind, you know, those were all arguments that had been made in Iowa as well and had been made vigorously. You know, I think that right now the American people are narrowing the field. They have focused on several strong candidates. We're in that mix. And, you know, they're going to be lifting the hood and kicking the tires over the coming weeks to figure out who is going to be able to best deliver on the change that they want. And the argument that I'm going to keep making is that we can't get that change unless we have a working majority that can attract independents, attract some Republicans. That is something that I think I can do most effectively as the nominee and ultimately as the president.
President Clinton, former President Clinton, also raised questions about whether your record was really so different on a key issue, Iraq. He said it was a fairy tale, as you know, that that your voting record was any different than Hillary Clinton's when it came to Iraq. And he said there was some doubt as to whether you'd even been that strongly against the war in the beginning.
Well, you know, former President Clinton has continued to mischaracterize my record on this, and we're going to have to call him on it. You know, the press has already pointed out that he's wrong about this, but he keeps on repeating it. And at some point, you know, we're just going to have to keep drilling away at the fact that it is indisputable. I opposed this war from the start in 2002, 2003, 2004, and that, you know, the fact that I voted for funding for the war once I got into the Senate is perfectly consistent with my position that it was important to make sure that our troops had the equipment and the tools that they needed at a time when things were very dicey.
And when Clinton claims that in 2004, after the war had begun, you said you didn't know how you would have voted on the Iraq War resolution, is he misquoting you?
He's partially quoting me. This is an interview that I did with Meet the Press at the 2004 convention when Tim Russert, after having shown a clip where I explicitly opposed the war, then said, how is it that you seem to anticipate all these problems and your nominees, John Kerry and John Edwards, did not? And, you know, out of an interest in supporting my nominees, I said, well, look, I don't know exactly how I would have voted if I had been in the Senate. What I do know is that from where I stood, the case was not made. Now, Bill Clinton always leaves that second part out, which is convenient, but I think that anybody who has examined this issue recognizes that my position on Iraq has been consistent.
I want to ask another question here, Senator. In your concession speech last night, you quite generously said of your opponents that your opponents share the same goals as you do, that they're all honorable, that everyone in the race, in your opinion, is patriotic. Some of your opponents may say, if that's the case, why should voters choose the senator with only 3 years' experience?
Well, 3 years' experience in Washington, Steve, right? 20 years' experience working on the streets of Chicago as a civil rights attorney, as somebody teaching constitutional law, as a at the state level, providing health insurance for people who didn't have it, and providing tax relief for families who need it. You know, there is, I think, a perception in Washington that that's the only place that matters. I think the American people reject that. That's why we're doing so well. That's why we're in this race. And ultimately, what they want is leadership. They want, I think, somebody who can inspire the country to come together and solve problems. And I would not be running if I was not absolutely convinced that I am the person best equipped to do that.
And the next place you'll be tested, or one of the next places anyway that you'll be tested, would be South Carolina, first southern state, also the first state with a significant black vote. Do you think that you have proven to black voters that if they back you instead of Hillary Clinton, with whom they have a long past, that they'll be backing a winner?
Well, I think that there's no doubt that we are in a very strong position to win. And you know, I think even if you talk to the Clinton camp, they would say that, you know, we are in a strong position to win, as they are. You know, we have put together, I think, a great campaign. We are seeing enormous numbers of people, first-time voters, younger voters, participating in the process. And you know, I'm reaching out not just to the African-American community, but to people from all walks of life, saying we can put together a coalition that we haven't seen in a long time to actually move a progressive agenda forward. And that's what I'm going to be trying to do over the next few weeks and then hopefully over the next 8 years.
I assume you'll still be talking about change.
Well, change, but in very specific terms. I mean, I think that one of the points that I've been trying to make over the last several weeks is that when I talk about change, it's not some gauzy pie-in-the-sky change. I'm talking about making sure we have a healthcare system where every American can get health care that's as good as the health care I have as a member of Congress.
Although that's something, just to take that specific goal, that's something people have been trying for years and have had only incremental success.
Well,
can you name one concrete thing you can do that other candidates would not do to move things forward in Washington?
Well, it is going to require the American people enlisting them in putting pressure on Congress to make it happen. This is part of the point that I've been trying to make, Steve. There's no shortage of plans out there. There's no shortage of policy papers. This is not a technical problem. It's a problem of politics. It's a problem of getting a big enough coalition of people who are organized, inspired, mobilized, and will then put pressure on those who are elected in combination with a president who is able to lead in order to get it done. There's no magic solutions here. And you know, the problems that we face, whether it's climate change or health care or making college more affordable or dealing with our foreign policy, is less a problem of you know, getting the perfectly calibrated policy. It has to do with, you know, are we able to get people to work in the same direction? And that's what I can do.